Yes, here we are. We are back, baby, back in a big way, back like we never left. Welcome, TKO Nation. We are talking about Roman Dolidze versus Nasruddin Imavov. Going to do a quick little recap of that event that transpired last Saturday in that basement in Vegas that we all love, the Apex. All right, let's talk about it. All right, so we'll start off with the top of the bill, main event. Nasruddin Imavov versus Roman Dolidze. Pretty competitive fight, all things considered. I wouldn't call it the most exciting fight by any means, but it was pretty interesting, and it was definitely tightly contested. That being said, Imavov definitely did enough to win more rounds than Dolidze. He was just a little bit more slick. He was a little bit more well-versed in every aspect of MMA, whereas Dolidze was really just trying to push the grappling. and, you know, Dolidze kind of fell into that trap that his archetype leads way into, where he is very good on the ground, very slick with the transitions and the submission attempts, but he is not very good at getting the fight to the ground. So it kind of falls into this trap where it's like he's desperately diving for takedowns, very much like Paul Craig or even like a Gerald Meerschaert. And, you know, if the other guy goes for a takedown on him, he's very happy for it. But in the case of Nasruddin Imavov, that never happened. He just, you know, used his distance, tried to bully him in the clinch when Dolidze would push him to the fence. And, you know, won a clear decision, in my opinion. One of the judges did score it a draw. That's because Imavov got a point taken away from him when he had Roman in kind of a halfway on the ground, halfway not on the ground position, where Dolidze was like putting his hand on the floor, but was in like that tripod pose. And Imavov kicked him in the face from that position. It was a pretty cool kick, honestly. I liked it. I feel like if you have one hand on the ground, it should be counted as a standing opponent. Personally, that's my opinion. I think you need to have a knee or a butt on the ground or something.
I say bring back the soccer kicks, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. I don't really want to see guys getting, you know, punted. And excuse me, my goodness. I also definitely don't want to see people like, imagine Khabib throwing knees on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, there would be no competition. It'd be ridiculous. But, you know, that being said, I really do feel like the one hand on the floor rule is bullshit. If anything, it should be two hands on the floor. Like, I think they had that rule for a certain period of time where you had to have, like, your palms on the floor to be counted, or, you know, a knee or a butt. But I'd rather just it be a knee. But, yeah, anyway, regardless of that, the point got taken away. Imavov started yelling at Chris Curtis in the corner because Chris Curtis was talking shit from Roman Dolidze's corner, which I thought was hilarious. It almost got Imavov disqualified. So that would have been a really shitty way for that fight to end. But that being said, Imavov kept his cool for the most part and cruised his way to a clear-cut decision. Dolidze, you know, this is his ceiling. We talked about it on the preview pod. The dude's dangerous as hell. He's dangerous everywhere. He can't really put it all together like that. He doesn't have the technical prowess to really like weave his game together, but he does have, you know, good power on the feet and great jiu-jitsu when it goes to the ground. But he's just not very good at getting people to the ground, and his technique isn't great that he can, you know, land some of these punches. Like, he's not very good at setting them up, you know. So he kind of finds himself in that weird lower end of the 15 range, I think. I think he'll beat guys like Gregory Rodriguez or Gerald Meerschaert, but he's not going to beat somebody like, you know, Vittori or Hermanson or Imavov, as we saw. So, you know, it kind of sucks for Dolidze. Pretty good win for Imavov, all things considered. He wants to fight Sean Strickland. I don't think that fight makes sense right now. I'd like to see him fight, you know, maybe Marvin Vittori or the loser of Brendan Allen versus Marvin Vittori. I think that'd be a good fight for him.
I agree. I think because he performed really well, but he looked extremely beatable. You know,
yeah.
He looked like he would be, I feel like, in deep water, especially with the mental aspect. Like, he seems to let people get to him. You know, it seems like he has a little bit of trouble kind of keeping that composure under a lot of pressure. I think that Sean Strickland would drown him, you know?
Well, he did. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree completely. I think that's a great read. It seems like, you know, his coaches had to really like rein him in every couple of rounds, because he got a little too emotional, got a little too crazy in there. So, you know, he's somebody that definitely relies on his coaches. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but you can see how it would give him some trouble at the highest level of the sport. I like Imavov. I don't think he's ever going to be a champion, but I do like his style. I think he's a good fighter. I'd like to see him fight Chris Curtis again in a 5-round main event in the Apex. I think that'd be awesome. That's the fight I'd like to see. I think, honestly, I'd probably pick Curtis in that fight. Even though Imavov was doing pretty good against him in their first matchup until that clash of heads called it a no contest, I feel like Imavov really does slow down as the fight goes on and Curtis picks it up. I can't remember the last time I saw Curtis lose a third round. So I think that would be a great fight to make for 5 rounds at the Apex. You know, just give him some Apex card in like July or fucking June or something. I don't know. You guys figure it out. It's not my job. but yeah, let's go down the card. We had Hanato Moicano versus Drew Dober. This is a tough one, man. This is a tough one for the Dober fans out there. We bet on Dober on this pod, and he was well on his way to winning the fight, man. In that third round, he looked great. He had Moicano dead to rights in front of him. Every punch it looked like he was landing was hurting him. He was stopping Moicano's takedowns. And then Moicano went for the takedown. He got in a clinch position because Dober stuffed it, and Dober went for a lateral drop and ended up throwing himself onto the ground.
I had a nickel for every kid that I've coached that tried to hit a lateral drop and went straight to their back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very low percentage move, you know? It's cool when it happens, though. And you know what it is, too, is that Dober tried it in the second round, and it worked. And he ended up on top for the rest of the round.
Well, so that's it. That's
Lightning can't strike twice.
Well, I mean, so even that's my biggest problem with it is, like, when it works. But when it doesn't, you end up in such bad position. Because in that situation, at best, they end up in your half guard. You know, Generally, most – I'm not saying at best. At best, like, you scramble out and you get back to your feet. But you end up, you know, in a very
worst position.
Yeah, in a terrible position where, like, you know, your best bet is trying to get to a half guard, you know, or getting back to it. It just, I'm not a big fan of seeing lat drops in MMA.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like same thing, cool, like, how often do you see an arm throw? You don't see people, like, you know, dudes going out there hitting arm throws because if you mess up, they're on your back, you know?
Yeah. Unless your name's John Jones, then you can get away with that kind of stuff, fighting people like Stefan Bonner. Or anybody like that. But yeah, like if you don't have this tremendous Greco-Roman background, you shouldn't be going for lateral drops and arm throws and shit like that. Dober does not have that background. So
we'll see. And not to like tangent too much further on this, but like that's where I believe folk style wrestling dominates over freestyle and Greco wrestling when it comes to MMA, because it's so much about like hitting your single legs, your double legs, defending those. Yeah, getting them to the ground and holding them to the ground. Like,
if you can
willingly hold somebody to their back, you know, with them trying to get off, it's going to be easy holding someone that's tired that's just trying to lay on their back anyway.
Yeah, for sure. And we talk about it a lot that the folk style wrestling is the best wrestling base for MMA because of the scrambles and the creativity that you can kind of have in folk style, whereas like in freestyle or Greco, it's a little bit more limited of a skill set. So you don't see guys get as funky, you know? Dober made a huge blunder there in that third round going for that lateral drop. He hit a good one in the second round, so I understand his confidence was high with that move, but it's really not something that, you know, you should be throwing over and over. And he found out the hard way when Moicano just, you know, held him on top for the rest of the round. So I thought Dober was well on his way to winning. It would have been awesome to see him win there. It would have been a good win for him, but it is what it is, man. The Crimson Chin strikes again.
Hey, dude, good for Moicano.
What'd you say?
Me?
Who?
No, Jordan, what'd you say?
Oh, I said good for Moicano.
Yeah, I mean, he dug deep, he got the victory, and then he had that kick-ass interview at the end of the fight. I don't know if you saw the clip of it, Jordan.
No.
It was fucking hilarious. You should definitely watch it.
His father's 61 and he has a baby.
Yeah, he's like,
oh shit, yeah, I did hear about that. Yeah. I did hear about that shit.
That shit was hilarious. Yeah, he got on the mic. He was like, hey, boy, my father's 62, just had a baby. I'm going home. I'm going to get my wife very pregnant. Shit was funny as hell. He was like, if he can do it, I can do it. If he's bringing life into this world, so can I. And then he went on a whole tangent about how he wants to be a cop so he could stop the bad guys and shoot the bad guys and that this country's going down the tubes. And it was a whole thing. It was great. It was phenomenal. So I hope all the good things happen to McConnell.
Give that man an Oscar.
Yeah, for real. And he called out Patty Pimblett after the fight. Well, he said that Patty should fight Dober. And Patty was like, well, why don't I fight you? And McConnell was like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, well, let's do it, you know? Easy win.
Everybody wants to fight Patty Pimblett, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off a victory over Tony Ferguson, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I like that fight. I think McConnell versus Patty is a good fight. It'd be interesting to see where Patty's real skill set lies. Because I think, it is a pretty winnable matchup for Patty because he does hit hard and McConnell is shown to be susceptible on the feet.
You know, no, dude, not to let... So Patty is kind of getting this weird little, like, incremental rise. I think people... It's weird. He's playing the strategy right. You know, he's an...
Yeah, he knows
as long as he keeps on trying to improve and putting time into that, like, this chick is working. It's working in a similar way, not the same vein, but the similar way of Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley had a stick and he kind of played to it and then got incremental increases and then finally had that one big payday. So,
yeah, I definitely feel like O'Malley had a better skill set than Patty does at that point in time. But I see where you're going. Like, they both generated that buzz and are looking to capitalize off of it.
Capitalize off of it. Because I even remember one of the interviews that made me a big fan of, like, Sean O'Malley was when he was like, yeah, you know, you're supposed to take this money and then reinvest it in yourself. And then you have a lot of fighters that get a big win or get a bonus and they end up just blowing it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you pay for better striking coaches. You pay for better equipment. You pay for better recovery stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so I think I said not to, I think like he Patty. Might and I am on the fence with him sometimes.
I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like a lot of the shit that he gets is because of the fans and not because of him.
Yeah, it gets promoted by like fucking douches with a podcast.
Yeah, like us.
Yeah. So I mean, I like it. But yeah, that would be a good matchup. I'd be good seeing with that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fight. I mean, honestly, every time you see Patty I hate to make, you know, derail this conversation just about Patty Pimblett, but I don't know if you saw that video of him in the Ring doorbell when his dog took a shit in front of the lady's house and he like offers to clean it up. I don't know. He just seems like a good guy. It's a pretty good video. Like, he's walking his dog and he rings on the doorbell and he's like, my dog took a sloppy shit right in front of you. And I don't have any water or anything. I can't clean it up. And she's like, no, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you. Sam. Is that Patty the Body? And she's like, it is. It's so good.
You have a good Patty impression. I'll give you
thank
that.
Thank you. I've been working on my Scouser. but yeah, no, I think I think Patty's a good guy. And I'd like to see him get stomped by McConnell because I think McConnell's also a good guy. But yeah, all right. So going down the card, Randy Brown had a huge knockout.
Got it done.
That was awesome. Fight
on the podcast.
I mean, we'll,
that's
we can try.
A guy. Get him on the podcast. Who's?
We'll try.
Fucking
right?
Literally.
You guys think? Like... You guys think just because I have him on Xbox, we're best friends? You know?
No, but you could. He might be like, I've been playing with this cat forever. You know?
Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, Randy Brown looked great. Yeah, he had a beautiful double jab straight to finish off Muslim Salikov. The fight was pretty slow going before that. There was I think it was a nut shot or an eye poke that, there was a little bit of a break in the fight, like right when they started to get going. And then not too long after they started the fight back up, Brown landed that hammer on Salikov. He was doing a great job of changing the angles and finding the set for that shot and throwing the double jab to get Salikov's defenses up, on the wrong side and then dropping that right hand on the side of his face. I really feel like Salikov should hang him up at this point. The dude is like 40 years old now, 39, and coming off of a knockout loss here and another one not too long ago, it really seems like he's slowed down a bit over these last few years. He beat Andre Fialho, but you know who hasn't beat Andre Fialho at this stage? So I'm just really not sure where Salikov can go from here. I feel like he's done enough in the sport to be able to walk away. For Randy Brown, probably one of the best wins of his career as far as the highlight goes. It was a great one. I'm excited to see him, you know, continue to climb up the ladder and try to build a bit of a name for himself in this division. I think the hardcore fans are well familiar with him. They know that he's a an athletic, long, you know, creative striker, you know, and pretty solid on the ground as well. But, you know, I think he's been steadily improving, and to see it materialize in that knockout win last week was pretty awesome. He had that setback against Jack Della Maddalena, but there's really no shame in losing to that guy. He's about to be top five if he beats Gilbert Burns. So great win for Randy Brown there. We'd love to see it. Next fight on the card, Natalia Silva versus Viviane Araújo. This was another great performance from a fighter that we've talked up on the podcast before. Natalia Silva looked very active in this fight. She didn't give Araújo much time to breathe, really. Araújo in the first round was able to have some success by pushing Silva to the cage and kind of just holding her there. It didn't make for the most exciting first round, but it was definitely one that Araújo won. But yeah, that being said, Silva just did enough. She was busy in the second and third round and was able to get that decision victory. I was kind of worried that the judges would give it to Araújo because she had a little bit more cage control in that second and third round. But, you know, if you're not doing any damage, you're not supposed to win the fight. And it seemed like that's the scoring criteria that the judges were working with on Saturday.
Even though I had my bet on Araújo, I'm glad Silva won. She absolutely deserved that one. In retrospect, I think that was probably a much smarter pick. I would like to see a little bit more out of Viviane, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, she's also one that's getting up there in age. She's 37. I mean, it's not super old, but she started the game pretty late, I think. I think she got in the UFC when she was 32, something like that. And, you know, she's fought a lot of good fighters here. But it feels like she's definitely hit her ceiling, you know? And lately, she's really been leaning into the wrestling aspect of her fight, or of her game, rather. And that's something that you like to see these veterans do, is kind of rely on the grappling as they get older. But, you know, that being said, I don't think she's going to ever compete with the top of the division anymore. But, you know, she could still stick around and have some really fun fights, I think. I think she's a good gatekeeper for women's flyweight.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be kind of hard, especially with these older ones relying on their wrestling, because you're going to have a new breed of, you know, top-notch level wrestlers coming into the UFC in the women's division in about 4 years.
I hope so.
Dude, it's there, dude. These chicks that are wrestling at Iowa, you know, there's, you know, at these D1 schools winning national championships, you know, you got to think that a couple of them are going to see it and be like, yeah, I could do that. Why not? You know, some girl that comes from a Mexican background and already knows boxing as well as wrestling, she can be like, well, I can just go make a bunch of money real quick.
Like Alexa Grasso. But yeah, so Silva, I think, still a problem for most of the division. But, you know, her defensive grappling in this fight really gives me pause to pick her against somebody like Erin Blanchfield. I think Blanchfield would have her way with Silva. But that being said, she's very aggressive on the feet and she's pretty exciting to watch. So, you know, I think she's going to be a great contender in this fight, in this division for a few years. I'm excited to see how she develops because she is still very young. She's only 27. And she just turned 27. So happy birthday, Natalia Silva. The fight card was on her birthday, actually, now that I'm looking at it. That's pretty cool. So how is she going to lose on her birthday, you know? I think Silva should probably fight the loser of Manon Fiorot versus Blanchfield. I think that'd be a good fight to make. If they don't want to give her that big of a jump in competition right now, you know, maybe give her somebody in that top 10 range. There's a lot of room for her to grow in this division, I feel. Going down the card, there was an eye poke in the first exchange. There's really nothing to talk about there. Charles Radke had a good upset against Gilbert Urbina. I picked Urbina on the podcast. I was pretty confident. And then when I saw him striking, I was like, oh, this is the other Urbina brother. I was thinking of Hector Urbina, not Gilbert. And Hector is a lot better on the ground. Gilbert seemed very stiff on the feet. And Radke was able to catch him with that left hook, which was very beautiful. Good win for him. Molly McCann did exactly what she was supposed to do, beating up Deanna Belbita in one round. And then for me, what was the best fight on the card and on the prelims, if you guys haven't seen it, definitely recommend you go back and watch it, was Charles Johnson versus Azat Maxim. Azat was a huge favorite in this fight, like 3-1 favorite, minus 300. And he looked like it in the first round. He dropped Johnson twice. He was beating him up. And then we saw that classic case of the young gunner, you know, trying to go for the finish in the first round and getting exhausted. And Charles Johnson just put the pace on him in the second and third round, you know, made him not want to be in there. It was a really great comeback from Johnson after getting rocked and dropped in that first round so many times. You know, to win that second round, you know, tightly contested, but he won it for sure. And then the third round just completely washed him out. So huge victory there for Johnson, and, you know, kind of a reminder to the rest of the division that he's still kicking. Yeah, Themba Garimbo take out Pete Rodriguez in one of the loudest punches I've ever heard at the Apex in like 30 seconds, I think it was. It was very quick. Yeah, 30 seconds. Another one that I was pretty confident in the loser in. But, you know, it is what it is. Greenbow has that drive. He has that power. It's about money. We devour. Whatever the fuck The Rock said. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know.
What are you talking about?
The Rock had that rap. It's about drive. It's about power. We stay.
Oh, shit. Yeah, about. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Then Greenbow, he might as well have walked out to that song because he embodied it.
The Rock is all over the place right now.
I mean, he loves Themba. He bought him a house.
Hey, WrestleMania main event right now.
Yeah, man. But yeah, Themba Garimbo, huge victory there. Luana Carolina was able to stop Julia Stoyarenko's takedowns and armbar attempts in the first round. And, you know, we talked about it in the pod. If Stoyarenko is not able to get that first round submission, she's probably going to end up getting knocked out in the second or third. And she did get knocked out in the third, like right at the end of the fight, pretty much. So good victory there for Carolina, who missed weight by 5 pounds. It is what it is. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty decent card. Nothing really to write home about. But, you know, TKO Nation did pretty solid. We went 5-3, or at least my picks, I went 5-3. So
I think I went like 2-2.
Yeah, not too shabby. You know, could have been better, could have been worse. Yeah, it is what it is. But hey, we're going to talk about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say on this fight card. Fights to watch back if you guys want to see a good one. Wakano versus Dober, Johnson versus Maxim, good knockouts, Themba Garimbo, and the Randy Brown one, pretty solid. Main event was pretty interesting. Not great, but, you know, sloppy fun fight. Yeah, we're gonna close this out. And we will be back very soon to talk about next week's middleweight Apex main event.
I'm so excited for this one.
Jack Hermanson and Joe Pyfer.
Hey, Pyfer's big moment, baby.
Yeah, this might be it, man. We'll see. All right, thank you so much for watching, y'all. Take it easy and stay tuned for the next one. Hopefully, we will be making you a lot of money. All right, peace out.